Hey everyone, and welcome to the latest episode of the Dynamite Review Show. It will be named eventually, but for now, it's just the Dynamite Review Show. We're your hosts. I'm Boris, and as always, I am joined by Dax Xavier. Dax, how's it going, my friend?
Not bad. Just, you know, tying down, getting, the holiday season's technically over. So, just, you know, getting rid of the energy of that, getting ready for the new year. See what the hell is going to happen. Never know.
Exactly. See, I consider the holidays until the new year, right? Because typically I don't work that week in between. But, man, this year has kicked my ass. Let me tell you this. So last time I was talking about the car accident that I was in and the multiple injuries that I had, right? Mm-hmm. Basically, since the last time that we spoke, that night I did a almost five-hour session. With the SNME Roundtable to record the best and the worst. Thank you to everyone who has listened to the best. The worst is coming out this weekend. Then after that, I feel like everything is like just December has kicked my ass. So, you know, I always tell you how like I've been getting the headaches, right? And blah, 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 blah. So at one point on Saturday morning, I was just doing my own thing. Kind of started feeling one of those headaches, but I was near a wall. Kind of felt like I needed to grab the wall.
Yeah.
I wish people can see this. But that is what my wrist looks like. Yep. Broken wrist.
It hit that hard? That's a blunt. That's a blunt hit.
Well, it hit my hand and my wrist just collapsed within itself.
Oof. Yeah, that's pretty bad.
Yeah. Like it's mangled.
So at this point, do you go back to get checked up or what did you do?
Yeah. I did get checked up. It might need some surgery, but that doesn't seem like.
Is there any internal fractures?
Apparently, it's a beautifully clean fracture. So that's what might save me.
Holy crap!
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm sorry to hear that. I sent you that message. December is kicking my ass. Start sprinkling some something, get you amped. But yeah, dude, that's what's going on.
And basically that just made a great point as to why I don't stress about the stuff that I go through, because I always think that like I'm not the only one that goes through stuff.
Yeah.
And there's probably people are going through something a little bit worse or worse off. So you got to, not to say that your situation is not important.
For sure.
Cause in a lot of ways, I had a great year, but also like the first half of the year was great. The other half, you know, I felt like my flame was flickering a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm a little bit like drained out in a lot of ways because of certain things that have happened, but I had to power through it in a sense. It's like with the mindset of, there are worse things that could be happening right now. And it's worse things going on in the world right now. Yeah. And the fact that I have the privilege to get through my situation, I should not take that lightly. And
exactly,
you know, when I hear stuff like what you're going through, unfortunately, you know, I really hate to hear that and see that you're going through that right now. Nobody should have to go through that. But it just, you know, reflects me about how grateful I am to be able to be in a position I am, to be able to have what I have and, you know people that I know like you and hopefully, you know, spread that same vibe with you to help you.
No, for sure, man. Honestly, I'm not complaining. I'm more laughing at this point. Like, just, I don't know, like, this
I mean, you got to, in a lot of ways. You know what I mean?
Oh, but that's not all. That wasn't it. Got a few more tidbits to tell you and all the awesome listeners. So, that Saturday, hand is hurting. On my way back from this was Sunday, Christmas Eve. On my way back from the docks, getting this wrist checked out, I take an Uber, forget my phone in the Uber. The Uber driver wanted to charge me $500 to get the phone back. First off, that's
okay.
Criminal.
See, it literally is, because there is a charge fee. That happens with us. If we leave something in Uber, it's not their responsibility, and I understand that. There's sort of a case by case basis with that. Yours, what I just heard, was extreme. Like I believe there is a certain fee that Uber you know, charges for them to go out of their way to come back. $500 is enough. That is literally a hostage negotiation, what he's doing.
Yeah, that literally is. That is literally.
You're asking for half the amount of what the phone is valued.
Honestly, the battery has been crap for so long. And I'm like, you know what? I've had it with this month. I'm just going to get a new phone. So that's what I did.
Yeah.
Ended up getting a new phone. It just worked out for the best. It just worked out for the best. But, you know.
You make me proud. You're like Sony. You're like Somniac Games right now that just, they won't bow down to hackers. They won't bow down to terrorist people. Like, you're not, go ahead and do what you want. We're not going down here.
Yep.
My man.
Yep. Just like the Gex. Stand in the line. Stand in the line.
Exactly.
And then yesterday, so it's been very weird weather here in Toronto. I think everyone is getting like unseasonably warm weather. So I'm sure you can tell I have the beginnings of a very nasty cold coming. So it's like
very congested right now.
Dude, it's like what more can happen? Again, I'm not complaining.
Do not say that.
I find it funny.
If you ever watch any cartoon or any Married with Children episode, if the minute you say that, they flip the damn transition of the episode of the edit, and then something worse happens.
I know, right?
It's like Al Bundy is like, "What could possibly go wrong?" And then the screen flips.
It's like I also feel like saying, you know, this is my day off. I shouldn't.
I'm not supposed to be here today.
That's basically
Well, I'm grateful that you are up breathing barely, but here to talk about AEW Dynamite last night and more.
Yep, we'll talk about some Dynamite. We'll talk about some Continental Classic. We'll talk about some Chris Jericho, and then we will preview World's End because I think we pretty much have a card for the most part, and that's coming up on Saturday.
So, it's all set, yeah.
It is the holidays. I kind of want to give everyone as much of a break. So right now there is a discussion who out of the SNME crew wants to do the review show. I'll be hosting it and someone will join me. It will most likely be a aftercast. I think we're going to go back to full schedule after parties starting in January with Royal Rumble. Now, I think people have to also remember, because a few people have asked, you know, throughout like the past year and a half, is why don't you guys always do after parties? Well, it was a lot easier to do after parties when you had one pay-per-view a month to plan for, right? At this point, sometimes there's two a weekend. Sometimes there's three a weekend. So we're trying to pick and choose the biggest ones, the ones that will get, honestly, the most listens.
You sound like me with AEW right now.
Yeah.
Just saying, just like I was with UFC. It's like when they start oversaturating it, it's hard to really, you can't afford to put your energy into all of it.
Yeah, and it also comes down to, like, we're all volunteers. Hell, you know, we're all volunteers. So, you know, and again, I know I'm pulling back the curtain a little bit more, but I'm all about communication. I'm all about transparency. So that's honestly what's going on. Starting in January, not only will the Patreon be rebranded, tiered, but we're going to be doing some very special stuff on the Patreon, including some patron-only podcasts, more behind-the-scenes stuff on those podcasts, and the after parties and things like that. So that's what's happening here. Obviously, this weekend, also, we have the Worst of 2023. Very fun show.
I think the drinking episode.
Yeah, pretty much. It pretty much was. I have to actually listen to the full episode before I send it into TSN because I know that there was a lot of swearing. So everything I picked for the best of, I know didn't have swearing, but with the worst of, honestly, I think we swore at some point every category. It's honestly a great time, and thank you to everyone who has listened to those shows. All right, so before we get to the wrestling, I know we're going to be covering a lot, but honestly, Dynamite, I think we'll be able to power through. What's going on? What's going on in the geek world that you want to talk about?
I honestly have been on holiday break from my show. Yeah. I've been putting out, you know, rewind episodes this week for, you know, leading into New Year's. I'm throwing up one of my first generation interviews with the co-creator of Ren and Stimpy, Bob Camp.
Nice.
There was two creators of that, and this one is the good one. I'll just put it at that. If you know the history of what happened between the two and the controversy with the other one, you know what that is. So
to Rick and Morty,
I would say worse because
it's worse because
he not only like he was only found as you know to be that case, he owned up to it. Like he doubled down on it. Like at least in a Rick and Morty situation, it's like, you know, I think he was proven, you know, innocent of the situation even after the fact. But no, that Ren and Stimpy deal was like that was crazy.
Yep.
But we got him. We got him on here like way before that controversy even came about. I believe that was like one of my first generation interviews. So I'm gonna throw that back up when I actually had a crew of people with me too. So we're gonna throw that one back up. And New Year's coming in, so we're gonna be doing the best of 2023 for that one as well. So.
How do you handle that one? Because I have an idea for It's Canon. I don't want to do categories. What I'm thinking of doing is doing like a top five anything. What were my top five favorite things?
That's where I'm going to have to do, because what it originally was when I had a Facebook group before it got hacked, which is one of the biggest pains that I had this year. I had a few thousand people that were voting on this annually. And I would base it off of their votes. But now I don't have that, especially not in that capacity. And I hate the fact that Meta doesn't help you do that, you know, retrieve that unless you're a celebrity or whatever like that.
Meta is literally the worst.
It is absolutely the dirt worst in terms of customer service, especially.
Yeah.
No, none. Like, how does this do? We'll waste our time talking about good stuff. But. You know, now I'm doing what you said. I'm narrowing it down to the top five because there was a lot. There was absolutely a lot. So I got to sit down and really go back to all of my reviews of movies that I've went to go see. The games that I've reviewed this year. I look back at my best ofs, you know, my look backs of stuff. And I'm like, I played so many damn games. It's just insane, you know, all the anime that I watched too, stuff like that. So like, yeah, I gotta, you know, the good part is I love talking about anime, comics, movies and games. The bad part is I gotta review all of those anime, comics, movies and games that I watch and narrow it down from there.
Yep, that's why I'm very careful about how I structure It's Canon Podcast.
Mm-hmm. Once I get it down, it's a lot of fun to do.
Oh for sure. Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking of doing. It's like no categories. It's top five anything. Top five, bottom five, anything. Could be anything. Could be the most random list. Could be all video games. Could be all anime. Could be all movies. Could be all books or comics. I think that's what we're going to do on that side of the world.
The comics is always hard to talk about because, you know, I don't read as many comic books as I used to from years back, but I have read some books like a lot of the Milestone stuff. Yeah. That I got a chance to read this year and all that stuff. So, and then just talk about some of the things that happened this year too. I mean, the SAG after strike and all that, and just all the crazy things that has happened. So,
everything that's going on with Dungeons and Dragons and Hasbro.
Wait, reiterate that for me. What happened? What's going on with that?
When they tried to monetize D&D.
Is that right?
Oh, wow. Yeah. There was a huge controversy at the start of the year about that.
The video game or the actual board tabletop?
Like the tabletop.
Explain how can they do that?
Oh, we can do a whole episode like I did just on that. It was crazy. Yeah, it was crazy.
These companies are so
and I'm pretty
money
sure
thirsty,
Hasbro
man.
Does own them.
I got the movie. Didn't the movie have the Hasbro logo in there?
Yeah, that's why, because the company Dragons, I forget what they're called.
It's an affiliate of Hasbro?
Yeah, basically. Wizards of the Coast is a subsidiary of Hasbro. So they start the year fucking up. They end the year fucking up. Well done, Hasbro.
Hey, I mean, that's just one of many, many people we're upset about this year.
Well, yeah, for sure. For sure, yeah. And then Magic the Gathering, I think, has had a pretty good year.
Hmm. You know, it's funny. We're talking about tabletops. They just Repop usually does PAX Unplug every year here in Philly.
Yes.
And I never go to it because I'm really not into tabletops like that. Even though, funny story, I actually really created a tabletop game of my own. It was my father-in-law's concept, and I helped bring it to life. Basically, I literally drew every character for the. It was called Political Choice. It was basically a political, you know, board game to help kids understand politics easier. It was a really well done game, and I went in and probably some of the most work I've ever done for anything. Drew characters, drew the cards, drew the board, all that stuff. It's a lot of work. It is a hell of a lot of work, but I wanted to do it because it was something that I'd never done before. And, you know, kudos to everybody who puts those boards together, man. It is not an easy thing.
So the other host, Tyler, who's taken hiatus from It's Canon, that's what he does for a living. He writes tabletops.
Wow.
Yeah.
Like just on a normal basis?
Yeah, yeah. He works for those big companies, and he writes, like, he'll write this, like, I don't think he's personally written a Star Wars one just yet, but he, like, we've brought in people, his colleagues that have.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That is absolutely awesome, and thank goodness he has a team, because I did that whole entire thing myself, and it's like, trust me when I tell you, it's a lot of work.
Yeah. Oh, I can only imagine. I can only imagine. Like just the rules alone on the game, right?
Well, luckily that's the part that I didn't have to do. They came up with the concept and the rules to make sense of it all. I just had to create the visual look of it and draw out the maps. And I mean, God, that is a lot of work. I still have it too. It's in my closet over there. But it was was in talks with a school, a few schools of, you know, using it at once. And they were using it for a time being, you know, as a way to help kids understand politics more. It was really well done, but it was one of those situations where, you know, he's an older guy. He's never been into business before. He's like one of these, you know, old fashioned Christian county guys who just like, you know, you're in your own town. You never been in business before. So it's a little bit overwhelming. So he kind of opted out because when he started seeing that it was getting real, he kind of backed down.
No, for sure. For sure. I can totally understand that, man. 100% understood with that. All right, man. So before we get into wrestling, have you watched Aquaman?
Oh, yes. 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 Last week. You know, I actually enjoyed the first Aquaman as a just take it for what it is type of thing. It was entertaining. I thought this one was the same. Okay. I didn't think anything of it. It was just, you know what you're dealing with. You know what went on during this era of DC Comics. It was the final movie of this dysfunctional, you know, film fest known as the DC Films Universe. And you just took it for what it was and enjoyed it. I had a private theater by my own, by the way.
Yeah, I'm not shocked to be honest.
Private theater, I mean, like nobody wanted to come and see this.
Yeah, no one else paid for it. Yeah, no, for sure.
Exactly.
You know what's crazy? How many people I know are watching The Iron Claw?
How about that? You know what's even funnier? Is that because we've seen early screenings of it already, you forget that people didn't see what we saw. So now we're seeing all these abundance of memes about the Ric Flair thing.
Funny you say that. So when I was talking with Chris Van Vliet about the movie, because we had both watched it by the point that we talked, that's what we were making fun of. He's like, everything was good, ..
Up until that
Ric Flair.
It just stopped you like cold.
If I didn't know better, I would have honestly thought that was Will Arnett, like in an SNL skit.
I think Will Arnett, to his credit, would have done a really great job.
Agreed.
As Ric Flair. Like, this guy, who I forgot who they got out. I checked the IMDb multiple times. I'm like, I've never seen this guy a day in my life. I have reason to believe that this guy's never watched wrestling. Because even if he did watch wrestling, you know how almost everybody can do a Ric Flair mannerism.
Yeah.
Maybe not as good, but probably way better than what he did. Yeah. And I'm like, I know. They could have found somebody in the wrestling world to play that role and redo that the entire promo. And I know Jay Lethal's black, but But my God, he would do that in strides.
Dude, like, I remember watching that, and I'm like, what is going on right now? This is like the climax of the movie, too.
Yes. And even more, like, he got the good part is he got the promo down yes. pat. He did the lines. He got the promo. We'll give him credit for that. But the charisma was just not there. The mannerisms was not there. The afflictions was not. It was just so after, many things.
Right. Like yeah. after the match and that interaction that they have, all of them. Right. And to me.
Yeah.
You know what? That gives that to me as much as Ric Flair is Ric Flair in 2023. You know, say what you want about him. That is how good of a performer Ric Flair was.
Well, absolutely. Without a doubt. Without question. I mean, like, God, Lord, it just, yeah. Even if they would have gotten Jay Lethal to lip sync, like Brian Nemeth was part of the production. Like, why did he? I bet he could have probably done a better job.
Yeah, 100%. But yeah, it's funny. Everyone, a lot of people are loving the movie, right? And a lot of people are asking me, like non-wrestling fans, what did you think of the movie? Yeah. I'm like, look, it's a great movie. If you don't know the story or if you know the
exactly.
story, right? If you don't like wrestling, you'll appreciate it for different things.
And yes.
A non-wrestling fan will appreciate the movie more because they don't know the creative freedoms that they took.
This was truly based on a true story mm-hmm. like, to the fullest. I think my only beef was that Ric Flair won, but also I wish they had another hour because there was just certain things that I felt that could have been fleshed out. One being
the timeline,
Fritz. And the timeline, because when you say the timeline, let's talk about Lance.
Yeah.
Well, we only saw a few seconds of Lance. And if you're not a wrestling fan, you don't know the significance of that scene. And I felt like that Lance situation could have been fleshed out to make understand how much of a prude Fritz Von Erich was. And I think the other hour should have been focused on some of the things that Fritz has done in terms of like what he's done with the death of David and how he tried to milk that situation. They made him come off a little bit evil, but not evil enough. But yeah. I will say this, the best part I think I loved about this movie was the performer, the actor who played Fritz.
That's what Kevin Von Erich said to me.
I thought he sounded like him. He looked like him. The beginning of the movie was like, do they win it black and white? I loved it. I mean, there was some love letter of a lengthy love letter of a fanfare.
Yeah.
That they had in there. I thought it was funny though that the six man tag that titles that they had were the NWA six man titles.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I was like, wait, I don't remember those titles ever making it to WCCW. Right.
Exactly.
But again, overall, I did enjoy it.
You know, they were trying to portray, look, these guys were local Texas guys, but these guys were so good, they were given the national spotlight, right?
Yeah.
That's essentially what they were trying to say. Sean Durkin did a great job with that movie. Thanks to everyone who contacted me after I posted that Kevin Von Erich interview. Tons of fun. I was happy that I was able to post it all. It was good. It was a good time.
Fantastic times we live.
Oh, 100%. All right, let us get into some wrestling. Like I said, I think we can blow through a lot of Dynamite quickly, but there's a couple things I did want to talk about, but we'll talk about as they happen. We're going to get started right away because the show got started right away with the AEW Continental Classic Gold League Finals. Jon Moxley versus Swerve Strickland versus Jay White. Now, I know we gush about Swerve Strickland, but can we just name the show the Swerve Strickland Markout Hour? Because, like, this guy can do no wrong at this point.
No. He is, I mean, what level do we put him in at this point? Like, he is just, oh. What is it to say about him that we haven't said about, you know, this may be a little bit too high, but this felt like the Dwayne Johnson levitation, you know,
honestly,
sort of kind of.
I was honestly going to say was the fall of 98 leading into the Deadly Games tournament with The Rock.
There you go. That's exactly what it reminds me of. And
like, the crowd reactions are insane. The fact that he is outshining John Moxley, right? Like,
yeah.
This is John Moxley's promotion, essentially. This is Bryan Danielson's promotion. But Swerve Strickland is outshining, just in every shape or form, these guys.
Absolutely. And again, kudos to AEW. I mean, we talk about what Tony's not doing, but we still got to give him credit for what he is doing.
Yeah.
And he is pushing fresher people. He is pushing. He is still creating good storylines within. There is some good that we need to give him credit for. We can't just focus on the negative, but there are some good things that are happening right now with that company. And this is one of them.
And talk about some of the good as we talk about the second match of the Continental Classic, because we'll kind of do a Continental Classic wrap up. This match was so well done. I like the story where Swerve was kind of trying to outsmart both guys until that last little bit. That last little bit, he's like, no, fuck, I'm not going to get the pin because these two are going to pin each other. And what ends up happening, Swerve ends up getting pushed from the top rope. Moxley hits a lariat and the Death Rider on Jay White for the win. John Moxley is your winner of the Gold League.
I'm so glad they didn't pin Swerve. And that just goes to show how much they feel that he is a value. And if they would have pinned him, I think the crowd would have crapped on it.
Yeah.
And but the fact that he did not. Yeah. The fact that he did not get pinned really, you know, it helped him. And I think it didn't do it. It didn't hurt Jay White at all.
No.
At all. Jay White is able, he's such a great heel that he can always come back up from his loss and make himself look good.
Look, if Jay White was able to get himself back up to this level after that MJF program, Jay White can do it all. Like, let's remember
absolutely
what level he was after that MJF match at Full Gear. Like, he was bottom rung, right?
Yeah.
And you're right, because, like, my first thought when this match started was, why is, like, it's cool that they're doing a triple threat, but I know that they like changing the, like, kind of old school stuff. I thought it would have been an elimination triple threat, but then I'm like, no, if it's elimination.
I don't understand.
Swerve Strickland would have had to been pinned.
Right. That is true. I agree. I do miss the three-way dance. I do miss that, though.
Anarchy Rules, 1999, Mike Awesome, Taz, Masato Tanaka, and Taz is your ECW champ who gets eliminated first.
Yes.
Like, to me, that's the epitome of three-way
dance. But what made that so great, you got to remember, what made that so great, why they made little old Taz still like a powerhouse and a force to be reckoned with, it took both of them to pin Taz. Both of them, Bam Bam and Masato Tanaka, to pin Taz.
Mike Awesome,
to pin Taz. Like, what great booking is that? Because for people don't know, who just grew up with Taz being the commentator for like all these companies, before Samoa Joe, there was Taz, and Taz was one of the first new age, new modern shoot work wrestlers. Like, he was playing himself as a legit fighter, and he gave you real fight feel, as what he liked to call it. And
wow. Especially when he was one of my opponents next, right? Like,
look, when he came out with War Machine at the ECW arena and I was there live, boy, I was no more. I was like, he was my all time favorite at the time, you know, and I love fighters. I love characters like that. I love characters who just come off as low rail fighters, which is why I was a low key fan for quite a while. I became like a Kurt Angle dude because he's legit. Like, when they put real sports into it, like I feel to it, I'm all about it.
Yep, agreed, 100%, man. So yeah, John Moxley is your winner, and it's really well done. We'll talk about the content of the classic when we review the Danielson Eddie Kingston match. Mm-hmm. After this, we get a recap of the entire Blue League, the Blue League from beginning to end. And I love how they were telling all the stories. You know, the Bryan Danielson story of him being injured throughout the tournament, the Eddie Kingston story of him almost being at the brink of elimination and coming back, beating his foe, Claudio Castagnoli, and coming back into the tournament and now inserting himself into the semifinals. And, you know, again, this is what I mean. This tournament has had great storytelling.
Yes. I would say whatever hits it home is if you guys have really invested into this tournament, you would also be invested into the backstage interviews. If you go online and watch them, I watch them every single time because they always seal the deal for the story of this tournament, and they're all fantastic promos at the end, especially Mark Briscoe.
Yes.
But I'm telling you, man, it is. This is the part I miss about DVDs and video packages, is that we used to get these I'll go to FMW. Like, we had the tournaments back then where they would do the tournaments, and Dan Amelf Labransky and Ken Watanabe, I believe, would be doing the background commentary and all the stuff, and they put it all together. I wish Tony Khan would do something like that. Like, when this is all over, put all of the interviews, all of the matches, all in one package for us to just watch it. And that's a lost art.
Like Coliseum Video, with what they do with how they used to produce the WWE videos, right? Like, you had
Gorilla and Eden. Yeah.
Yeah. You had so many extras and promos and stuff like that. But I think the best promo from the Continental Classic comes up here with Tony Schiavone. He is with Swerve Strickland and Prince Nana, and he's incredibly mad and frustrated. Strickland says he wanted it so badly, and he reminds us he meant it when he said that the AEW Continental Classic injected life into the wrestling business. He then puts his attention to Keith Lee, who called him out, and he accepts Keith Lee's challenge, and Tony Schiavone just so happens to have a contract ready for Lee and Strickland, and this match is going to happen in AEW Worlds and this Saturday from Long Island, New York. And then Strickland questions whether Keith Lee will even show up.
Which is funny that he says that, because wasn't it Keith Lee who said he was coming this week?
I think that's just Swerve being Swerve, right? Like, that's just Swerve calling him out for the sake of calling him out.
Right, right. But I'm like, where is Keith Lee in all this? He said he was going to be here to face him. Yep. It was weird, but it was like, all right, bet. They're going to finally have this match. And again, a note to everybody who lives in this short attention society that we live in, who can't have the patience to wait for stories to actually connect and continue or whatever like that. We grew up, me and Boris grew up in the 80s and all this stuff, when wrestling storylines did not happen in an instant. They were prolonged, and you would just be there to watch the whole entire story. We live in a short attention society now, where people are constantly wanting everything now, instant, right here, whatever. You can, there's a lack of patience. Patience is power, people, because when you finally are patient enough to get to that point, it makes it all better. And we finally get in this storyline, amongst other storylines too, because I hear it all the time. People are like, they're burying this person, or this person's not going to get what he was. And then we see, like, months later, they're pushing Jungle Boy. They're pushing, you know, Hangman. They're pushing, you know, Eddie Kingston. They're put, like, everybody who they say they get buried, they end up, you know, in the long run getting pushed.
Yep. Yeah, I agree with you 100%. We can talk about that for hours and hours and hours.
Yeah, I'm sure.
Yeah. Mariah May is with Renee Paquette. May announces her debut will be next week on the first Dynamite of the new year. Riho comes out. Chase is made to the ring. Tony Storm isn't far back. May exits the ring. Tony Storm is about to get, I guess, like a 619 type move. And Luther is fucking killing me, because he's like, what do I do? What do I do? How do I help you? And Tony Storm just tosses herself out of the ring.
Wait, is that Mariah May from Stardom?
Yep.
No, I'm just kidding.
I know. How many times?
This is something I'm surprised she hasn't said yet.
I know, right? Right? Yeah, and then Riho does a crossbody from the top rope onto Luther and Tony Storm. And Tony Storm's overselling of this was just wonderful.
Oh, man. I would just be on repeat every week right at this point of talking about how awesome Tony Storm has been. I mean, that's the thing. She's always has been, but she's really kicked it up a notch.
I've always been a fan of Toni Storm, like, since I discovered her God knows how long ago, right? Like,
there's right. Been when she was rocking, when she was a rocker and all that stuff.
Mm-hmm. All right, let's see what's going on. Backstage, Top Flight and Action Andretti are about to talk about an open challenge. Orin Cassidy alongside Trent Beretta and Rocky Romero just accept the challenge for this Friday's AEW Rampage. And was it Action Andretti who just drank the water like a 4-year-old?
He drunk it like a college frat.
Yeah, yeah.
Like he comes off like a frat boy. Like seriously, from
like a D bag. His name should be Chase.
And given that he's from Philadelphia,
yes.
I know some places. So I know where that's coming from.
That's amazing. All right, in a promo, Miro says he wants to fight Andrade El Idolo, and that Andrade should pray. And the match is set for World's End.
Should be a solid, hard-hitting match. That match should be good.
Yep. Notice how fast we're running through the show. Like, a lot happened, but a lot really didn't happen at the same time.
Exactly. Because the focus was the tournament matches.
Don Callis is out. He is out. And he says that it's been a hard couple of weeks. He is with his family. He says when times are tough, you need to turn to your family. Callis thanks his family, and he gives Hobbs, Takeshita, and Kyle Fletcher a present. The present is, of course, a custom painting of Callis with each individual member of the family. Sammy Guevara is back, and he says that he hasn't talked to Callis in a while, and Callis has a painting for Guevara. The painting shows Guevara holding his baby. Sammy gets upset, and then Callis says Guevara is not capable of being a good parent. Guevara says Callis makes everything about himself, and then Callis says that he's disappointed in Guevara because he's dropped the ball recently, not only by being injured, but by going on mat leave. Callis then throws down the ultimatum on Guevara and says to choose his family or the Callis family. And tells him to think about this choice very carefully. Guevara pushes Callis down. The rest of the family attack him. Jericho comes down for the save, and he clears the ring. He and Guevara have a bit of a hug. They're attacked by Ricky Starks and Big Bill. The lights go out. Sting and Darby Allin are in the ring and make the save.
I actually enjoyed this segment because, you know, in the beginning of the segment, it felt like a classic old school wrestling angle that we would see with, you know, you could take out Callis and enter any really D-bag like manager that would have done the same thing. Two, I thought the painting, which by the way, Callis actually credited himself to painting, mind you.
Yes.
I don't know if you caught that.
Bobby Heenan thing of him, right? Like, or yeah. Jerry Lawler thing.
As if we all don't know who's the artist of these awesome paintings, mind you. And they were prints, thank goodness, because of what they were doing with this. I thought the fourth one was going to be Sammy Guevara, but them actually attacking Sammy Guevara like they did with Jericho.
Yep.
But it always surprised me in how fast she can actually produce these paintings. It's amazing the work that she does. She's awesome. She is fantastic. We got to give her credit for that. It's just one of some of the most amazing things from an artist to an artist. You know, brush stroke, not a chef's kiss. We give a brush stroke. But I liked everything about this. This is really fun. We haven't seen the family and Callis and the family in a while, so it was really awesome to get them back in the swing of things.
Yeah. I liked it. This was much better than what we got from Starks, Big Bill, and Jericho a few weeks ago. So again, you know, it's
oh God, I forgot about that.
Yeah. Right? All right. It is time for the AEW Continental Classic Blue League Finals, Brian Danielson versus Eddie Kingston. The story here was two underdogs essentially who are trying to win their league. And go on to face John Moxley for the inaugural Continental Championship. Dax, did you honestly think that Eddie Kingston had any chance of winning this match? Like, honestly.
Yes. Yes, because I know how AEW books. Two, Eddie has worked his ass off to get to this point. Like, he's convincingly a guy that the crowd can get behind. And if this was old school WWE mentality, I'm saying old school because I haven't watched a new product in a while. So I don't know what the new product mindset is for fans, but the old WWE mindset is like, they wouldn't let this dude win. But in this new environment, I have reason to believe, and knowing how Bryan Danielson's mind works, he's all about story. He's all about story. So I love, and I've seen all of his Ring of Honor matches, so I know how this could possibly go. So yeah, I had deep hopes, and then the storyline itself played into it as well.
Yep, exactly.
So when they started, you know, planting the seeds of the story of he's never beaten, you know, Bryan Danielson's always beating him, and he's a bum and all the stuff. This is perfect pandering to, you know, coax on the babyface to win.
But what's interesting here is that they're telling the exact same story with Jon Moxley, and we'll get to that in a second. But it's very interesting mm-hmm. that they're using the exact same story. But I think now it makes me wonder who is going to win on Saturday. This match.
If you remember, again, this is a storyline connection. When the Blackpool Combat Club first started, Danielson and Kingston had this issue before, and they're just rekindling this entire issue again, and yep. they haven't brought themselves back. But if people really, you know, think about the past, you know that they've actually had this issue before, and it's been an ongoing thing.
Yeah. Now, this match was hard hitting. Honestly, I don't know what else to say. One of the scariest spots of the year I saw in this match, and that's Kingston reversing a back superplex and landing right on top of Danielson's head.
Mm-hmm. This was definitely a King's Road match, and if you don't know what that is, go back and check out All Japan, because this is where Eddie is inspired by. This is the whole Triple Crown thing is inspired by this whole entire thing. This is why I love AEW for us, in a sense that, like, at least they respect history and they make you want to go back and revisit that type of history again. Like, all the like little winks and Easter eggs that they put into their storytelling is always awesome.
Yep. The rest of the match was basically back fist versus knees. That's basically what it came down to. They were beating the shit out of each other at one point.
Oh, God, the chops.
Yeah, the chops, kicks, knees, Northern Lights bombs. They were doing back and forth pins, running knees for another two count. They were just hitting the hell out of each other with just zero sympathy for the other person. And I absolutely love that. Kingston flips off Danielson, hits a back fist, he hits a bunch of suplexes, hits a combo with another back fist, and then he's ready to end the match as he hits another back fist and a power bomb for the win. And Eddie Kingston wins the AEW Continental Classic Blue League to go on to face Jon Moxley.
This is going to go down as the greatest tournament AEW has done to date.
By far.
By far. And they've had a lot of tournaments, but these tournaments, they don't stand out. This one stood out.
Here's the difference. And let's finish the segment, and then we'll get to your point. Yeah. After the match, Jon Moxley's out. He gets in the face of Kingston. They set up the finals to Saturday's pay-per-view. Moxley says he wants Kingston at 100%. Moxley tells Kingston that he can't beat him, and he reminds him of the match they had a few years ago. Back to your point. Moxley tells Kingston that he will have to earn every inch on Saturday, and then Kingston takes the mic and says he's going to give Moxley everything he has. Great, great, great setup. You know, for a match that's happening in just a few days on pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm. Great show. Another great show. Fast pace as always. Quality wrestling. Great storytelling. I think one thing before we talk about the tournament itself, but we missed out
a couple things, right?
Okay. Okay. Yeah, so go ahead.
Let's finish the show and then we'll talk about the tournament. All right. Adam Copeland and Edge were going to have this sit-down interview with Lexi Nair. Copeland just beats the shit out of Christian Cage. I know I said Copeland and Edge. I meant Christian Cage and Copeland. Tranquilo, everyone. Copeland attacks him, and the locker room separates them. Nice little final setup for their no DQ match this Saturday. Chris Statlander versus Sky Blue. Statlander took an ass-kicking in this match. Sky Blue.
Really good match. Yeah, really enjoyed this match.
Yeah, so did I.
They're getting so much better. Statlander's always been better, but Sky Blue, she's owning it.
Yep. Couple code blues Blue distracts the ref. Julie Hart attacks Statlander, and then Blue hits the Avalanche Code Blue for the win. After the match, Blue and Hart attack Statlander. Willow Nightingale makes the save. Abaddon comes to the stage and stares Hart down to set up their match at World's End. In the back, Saraya is introducing Harley Cameron, as the new helper for Ruby.
Real quick, so when she came out, I didn't recognize Harley because she normally dresses a little bit differently. But trust me when I tell you, I did a cartoon like shaking head, like they do in the Flintstones, like. I'm like, wait, who's this?
Ooga.
Yeah, exactly. Very much Hanna-Barbera. Very Hanna-Barbera for that one moment. And that's saying a lot considering Saraya is already out there too. And right. It's like, wow, what the hell?
Yeah, when Harley Cameron just steals the scene, right? Like, you know, it says something. But I'm glad that they're giving her, like, in all seriousness, I'm glad that they're giving her something to do, right? Now that QTV is
awesome.
Stuff like that.
She's another one. She's fantastic.
Main event time, MJF and Samoa Joe versus the Devil's Masked Men. I really don't care about this.
Yeah.
Samoa Joe's injured. MJF still wants to defend the title. He gets hit a lot, gets hit with a pipe. They do a heat seeker, new ROH tag team champions. After the match, a bunch of masked men attack MJF. Samoa Joe comes out with a chair. The Devil appears on the screen. A message reads, "Pleasure doing business with ya." And that is the show.
You know, if this was the NWA, the one thing that masked wrestlers would have had to have done when they win titles is to unmask because they need to know who the identity of these new champions are. I wish that logic would still stay to some cases, but hopefully eventually they will address that. It was what it was. It happened. I just want to see who it is. And then, it depends on who it is, this will set the tone of what I think of this entire angle.
Honestly, at this point, I feel like the only person who can dethrone MJF as champion is Swerve Strickland. I would not hate if it's Swerve Strickland.
That would be awesome. That would be absolutely awesome, to be 100%
honest. Like, if it's not Swerve Strickland as the next champion, that means that this story is going to just be useless, because you gotta hit the iron while it's hot, in my opinion, with Swerve.
Yeah. I mean, if they take any lessons from Hangman, they would probably need to do that. I want to give a special honorable mention to Stokely this episode.
Oh yes, the women's match.
His commentary, like, if you don't, I think for some people, some of the stuff that he says may go over their head, but if you know Stokely and if you're from around the way, you know what the hell he's talking about. Some of the references and things that he talks about.
He talks to a certain demographic, and that's what I love about
him. Yes, abso-freaking-lutely. And he speaks in code, complete code.
Yes.
I love it. It's like it really is. He's talking to you. Like you're sitting right there in the house just talking to you. And I love how Taz, you know, reiterated, like, he came out of nowhere. Like, he was talking, he was commentating, but he was like, by the way, we need to have Stokely here more often. And just kept commentating from there because it's like, that speaks volumes.
Yeah. All right, so let's talk.
Shout out to Stokely on that.
About the AEW Continental Classic before my voice runs out. All right, so you said that you call it the best tournament AEW has done. I agree with you. And this is the difference between single elimination tournament and round robin tournament, is that single elimination tournament, it's one and done. You don't have the opportunity to tell a grand story outside of that one match, right?
You can still tell a story, but not as in the match, elaborate as this.
Or before the match. But you don't have the opportunity to tell, or you can tell a story of the winner or the runner-up, i.e. Jake the Snake. Right?
Right, exactly. Exactly.
Or you can tell the story of Bret Hart having to go through like 20 matches in one night. All of that's possible. But with the round robin tournament, you have so many opportunities. You have 5 chances to tell a story. And that's where AEW capitalized with this, right? So let's run through some of the stories. You know, you have, like I said, Andrade El Idolo. He's a heel. He's a villain. He's going to cheat to win. Right, you have Bryan Danielson's injury, constant injury. Will he be able to compete? You have Eddie Kingston, who was just about done and eliminated from the tournament until he beats his foe, Claudio Castagnoli. You had John Moxley, who basically said, this
wait, we got to also say he put it all on the line to prove his worth.
That's exactly it. You're right. So Eddie Kingston put up his ROH title and his NJPW World Strong title on the line. So right there alone, you had a built-in story with him. You had the redemption story of Jay White. You had Jay Lethal going 0-5. This can become a whole thing now. It's like he can just say, am I washed up? Am I done?
Yep. Right? I mean, he already started that with his alliance with Jared and the other oddities.
Yeah, right? Like, the amount of stories in, around, and on the
Mark
other
Briscoe,
side.
Mark Briscoe and Garcia. Like, talk about Garcia's match last week and how emotional that was. And if you saw the backstage interview of that one, that was heartwarming to see. And what they did because of his win against Brody. It's amazing.
You have the rise of Swerve Strickland throughout this tournament, right? Like, this tournament has been incredible. Not only have the matches been fun, not only are you actually watching Rampage and Collision and Dynamite to watch these matches or whatever, however you watch wrestling,
right?
Whatever. As long as you watch the matches, that's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
Man, it's been great. I've really enjoyed this. And you have so many stories that you can tell on the other side of this tournament. And I'm really excited to see what's going to happen. So, yes, Dax, I agree wholeheartedly with you that this has been AEW's best tournament, bar none.
And probably the best stories being told this year, to be honest, too, as well.
Yes, 100%.
And this was funny too, because when this was first mentioned and talked about, people were doubting it as they always do. They prejudge as they always do. And they were talking about how, it wasn't taken seriously and people didn't want to go in there, whatever like that. Now it went into fruition and it totally superseded our expectations.
Yep.
And I am extremely, I'm like, yes, more of this next year. Not any more people, not any less. Exactly the same amount of people. Let it tell that story. Let it bring in a whole group of people. I'm all for this.
Honestly, if they want wins and losses to matter, always have the Continental Classic at the end of the year and have people with certain records. The top 12. That's it.
Yes.
Right?
Dude, if they do
that, imagine the matches in October, September, October, November that you're going to be getting, because it's wrestlers who are on the brink saying, fuck, I got to get the win.
You made a great point by something that has been missing in AEW for quite a while. And bring back that ranking system. I don't care how tedious it is for you guys to keep track of it. It actually meant something. And if you, like you said, if you got the top 12, if they're the top 12 by the time this comes, they're automatically in.
Honestly.
Which means you got to pay more attention to what you're doing.
I've always said this. The biggest criticizers of AEW have been are people who don't watch AEW regularly, right? These companies, every company needs to do, and WWE is good at doing this. Maybe they're a little too stubborn sometimes, but what AEW needs to do a little more is just dig their heels on what they're doing and just let the stories run out. Don't listen to the internet wrestling community week over week.
Not everything. Not on everything. There's like just some things that y'all need to just chill.
Yeah. While we're talking about stuff and people needing to chill, Chris Jericho, how do you feel about Chris Jericho nowadays?
In terms of what exactly?
Is he bringing anything to the table to AEW right now? Because he seems to insert himself in these great positions.
He's just in an even flow right now. If you want to say that he's, hanging on the fumes of what he was in 2019, and I would say yes. He's not the demo god as we once was. And they haven't done anything really new with him to the point to make him that. But why the question about this?
Just because there's been a lot of, like, Jericho's, you know, outside of wrestling antics and some of his tweets have been, or exes have been getting him in a lot of trouble, you know, for CM Punk's attorney and stuff like that, talking about NDEs. Mm. And just
I did see general, that.
And then people just in general talking about Jericho. Like, what does he bring to the table? Is he really putting people over? You have to remember, you know, and then you take a look at, like, Sammy Guevara and the Inner Circle and the Jericho Appreciation Society. Did that? Did those groups help anyone, really, in the grand scheme of stuff outside of Jericho?
More Guevara than anything. But
even then.
But Guevara has always been a stop-start. But it's not to say that he didn't get anything out of it. He was TNT champion multiple times from that. He did have some really great matches. So, I mean, in hindsight, Guevara is his backing. I can't speak for any of the other members of both groups in his case. Not even Garcia to that extent. Like, not even.
It's funny that you said Chris Jericho is on this even flow, because as soon as you said that, I'm like, that was his theme, basically. The Pearl Jam. Which, by the way, that's going to be the theme to this week's episode.
Oh, nice. But when you think about it, but it's not to say he didn't contribute, but what he did is elevate people he was rivaling.
Orange Cassidy.
Enough said. Like, he really put him, like, he really helped him. Hey, indeed. So it's not like to say he, yeah.
Speaking of Orange Cassidy, do you feel, are they planting seeds for a heel turn for Orange Cassidy?
I see a definite personality change.
Right? Interrupting the interviews and just saying, I'm fighting you, bitch, basically.
Basically, I don't think to that extent yet, but I do notice that he's turned it up a bit since he got the second time around. I think Moxley was a big influence in that sense. So I don't know where they're going with that, but I wouldn't mind seeing an interesting Orange Cassidy heel turn, because for a guy of his persona in a heel mode, it'll be interesting to see where they go with that. Man, he could be solid but deadly.
But it's one of those things, like, him as a heel would be just very interesting because of shirt sales. So much of your pay comes from merch sales and stuff, right? So,
but I think they could, I think there's a might be a way they could pull it off. I mean, we're talking about a guy whose gimmick wasn't supposed to happen, wasn't supposed to go off.
Yeah.
If they were able to make him what he is now, doing what he does with apparently a lot of people that Jim Cornette's in the world didn't think he could be, it's possible they could pull off a Orange Cassidy version of him. Be Apple Cassidy, I don't know. But
the sour grapes Cassidy.
Exactly. Grapefruit Peach Cassidy. Cassidy.
Peach Cassidy.
Exactly.
Mandarin Cassidy.
All right. So I mean it's very possible. You know, Plum Cassidy, who knows? I'd never say never when it comes to him, because nobody thought that a guy like with everybody with the WWE ideology of old, people would have never thought a guy like that would have actually made it as far as he did and become as big as he did. You know, we talk about Swerve. We got to talk about Orange Cassidy to a lot of extent too.
Oh, for sure. Man, but Swerve, just it's he right now is on such a streak. Like I say, we're turning into Swerve appreciation hour, man.
Like, no, 2024 needs to be his.
Yeah, it will be.
It's just also, no other way of putting it.
Before we get to the AEW World's End card, I'm like looking at us on my screen. I'm like, man, this might be the podcast with the two whitest teeth in all of podcasting.
What do you mean?
Right? I'm just saying, throwing that out there. That might be our catch line.
Yeah, right. Who would be our sponsors?
Colgate.
Yeah, right? Scope. Scope whitening.
Because after you scope, you're going to need a blue chew.
You always gotta assimilate that in.
I always do that. All right.
Damn it.
Let's talk about some AEW. Or you would think that I already am sponsored by Plum.
I'm like, I don't want to be the before guy. You already.
Amazing.
I'm not the ED dude. No, no. I refuse to be the ED dude.
Oh my God. I am so happy Phil, my co-host from It's Canon Podcast, is nowhere near this conversation. AEW World's End live Saturday night from the Nassau Veterans Memorial Coliseum in Uniondale, New York. This is a pretty big card in terms of just like length. So let's go run through it very quickly. On the 0 hour pre-show, we have a 20-man battle royal for an anytime, anywhere in TNT title shot.
Battle royals are usually great. I will say this, AEW does make good battle royals. They do tell stories in their battle royals. They're not all, they're more hits than misses. There have been misses. I'll just see where this goes. It'd be interesting.
All right. Also on 0 hour, we have Hook, your champion, versus Wheeler Yuta in an FTW rules for the FTW championship.
I think that'll be a fun, solid match. I think these are two guys in the same plane of like, these guys are, you know, come in an up and coming, you know, level, and they've been doing really good in their own way. So,
yep. Sting, Darby Allin, Chris Jericho, and Sammy Guevara versus Ricky Starks, Big Bill, Powerhouse Hobbs, and Kyle Fletcher.
A fun Starcade esque like match,
right? I think the faces, the Callis family always wins. Are they going to continue their streak?
No, because there is a weak link to their people, unfortunately, and I think they can win off of that weak link.
Kyle Fletcher, basically.
Yes. Yep. It's very possible he'll take the fall.
Yeah, Miro versus Andrade El Idolo.
That's going to be interesting.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, his wife is out legit. So that, I wonder if that was going to play a factor into how this match was going to play.
Yeah. But here's the thing. If she's not available, which I'm happy that she's okay.
Crazy incident.
They should just wait for the match. Don't you think?
I agree, but they're having a match, so yeah. I think Andrade should probably get it at this time. Yeah, because he's been on a roll as well.
Depending on what the end, yes, I agree with you. Yeah, Andrade, continue his heel streak going, right? Make him cheat,
right?
Big time. I can see CJ Perry showing up in some shape or form.
If she's willing, because all she needs to do is show up to, you know, do what we all think there's going to happen. And I thought this whole entire thing, with that whole entire story, was her having a bit of a fetish moment with him.
Can't they have Harley Cameron just play the part of CJ Perry?
Oh, God. Oh, wow. There's so much I can say right there that I'm not going to. But those two alone. Oh, good Lord. Right?
I know.
That's too much power.
Oh, I know. A match. A year and a half in the making. Swerve Strickland versus Keith Lee.
Even though it did take a year to do, and they went off and on with this thing, I am still happy that they're finally doing this. I just wish that the storyline was consistent, but it's going to be interesting to see what's going to happen with this. I can easily want to say Swerve should win this, but Keith Lee needs this win.
Yep. Agreed.
I think he actually needs this win more than Swerve does.
Swerve is tired. He just competed in six matches and a triple threat to boot.
Yeah. But that's also like Keith, but also Keith Lee hasn't been in the game in a while, and he needs a significant win to put him back up. Like Shane Taylor, unfortunately, is not enough.
Yeah. Agreed. TBS title match, Abaddon versus Julia Hart.
That's just going to be a come and go match. I think it's going to be, you know, We say what we will. Shut up. I know what I said, Dana. I'm sticking to it. But what is this, Euphoria? What the hell?
Hi, Red. Like, look at the bag. Like, I'm.
No, but honestly, we talk about Abaddon, and she comes into the scene like every season or whatnot and does her thing, but she can really go. If you take away all the gimmickry that she is and the visuals, she actually is pretty solid. So I think she could really, her and Julia can really have a pretty good match. out of this. Julie's been working really hard. Abaddon really puts it in, because I know she probably works indies as well to keep up. I think this could be okay.
I think it'll be a fine
match. Exactly. I think this is going to be the lighter match of the entire card, but it should be okay.
I think the next match can go either way, and that is Christian Cage versus Adam Copeland in a no DQ match for the TNT Championship. You know this match is going to be overbooked. You know that they're going to hide any faults, for lack of a better term, that these two guys have. They're going to hide their age with just breaking each other.
Right.
So
it's going to be interesting. I don't see Copeland winning this.
I don't
see him winning this right now.
No, he shouldn't.
Not yet, at least. So yeah, the Christian journey continues.
Nick Wayne's, I almost called him Nick Cage, Nick Wayne's mom helping Christian Cage.
You know, if they get married, it will be Nick Cage, though.
Oh, fuck, you're right. Oh my god.
From a storyline standpoint, yes.
Beautiful. At what point, when Christian Cage and Mama Wayne beating down on Copeland, does Beth Phoenix come out?
There lies the surprise.
Right.
I didn't think about that, but yeah, that's going to happen. And if that happens, then I can see Copeland winning this.
Yeah.
Because of that interference. So I didn't factor her in. So you're right. Yeah, and I think people have been asking for that, if I'm correct.
Yeah, people have been.
I think this may be it. I didn't think about that. I didn't. Yeah.
Yeah. Always got to throw the wrench in your train of thought.
Good deal.
AEW Women's World Championship. Timeless Toni Storm versus Riho.
Of course. Riho's going to put up a really good match with her. People are going to be shouting for Riho. But, of course, Timeless is sticking with this title. This is Timeless title. Okay.
Yep. John Moxley versus...
It's going to be a good, solid match.
I think this is going to be an insane match. They're going to bring out their stardom, and they're going to show why,
why they were there. Why they were hired.
Exactly. Why Joshis are... under appreciated. John Moxley versus Eddie Kingston in the finals of the Continental Classic for the AEW Triple Crown title.
I'm going to say fight of the night, match of the night.
Could very well be.
I think just the part that's beautiful about Eddie. He's not looked at as the most technical guy in the world. He's not looked at as the high class caliber guy, but he puts in so much effort to make sure that his matches are well told in terms of story when the psychological aspect was played. He puts in so much effort. And then he has Mox, who also plays off of that effort and works just as hard. They are not going to have a bad match. And in fact, they're aiming, because there's nobody. We don't have a Kenny Omega. We don't have a Young Bucks. We don't have... Hangman's not even in this thing either. So, like, these are the top two guys in here, along with Swerve and Keith Lee, who I think are going to have a great match too. But I think this will be the match of the night.
Yeah. Not to take anything away from the main event, which is for the main event. I think I said Wayne event. I don't even know what I'm saying anymore.
Oh God. When Nick Wayne's time. Oh God. You just pretty much named him.
I know the Wayne event. For the AEW World Championship, you have MJF versus Samoa Joe.
This is a match that's going to be very interesting, because this is one of those things where I hate when the backstage stuff takes over the actual, storytelling of the stuff. But there's all that talk about, MJF's contract or whatever like that. And if in fact that he loses this to Joe, which I would not be mad at, because Joe deserves to be in this level. He always should have been in his level. So him getting the belt would not be a bad thing, because I think his title reign will be insanely awesome. If they do it right, it could be, if not better than his Ring of Honor run. And if you haven't seen Samoa Joe's two year Ring of Honor title reign, I highly, this is the part where you go to Honor Club and I'm like, you got to check out this stuff. But with that said, I don't know where this is going. I don't know where they're going with this and what does this mean. And, you know, they already lost one title. Is this another one? And this could mean that they're trying to make people focus on the backstage crap that I don't, you know, we shouldn't care about. So I want Joe to win because I feel like he should have always been in that top spot, but not at the expense of this idea of like us taking away his shine to focus on MJF, whether he's staying or not.
Yeah, I agree. If Joe wins, I want Joe to be the highlight. I don't want the highlight to be, is MJF staying or going?
Right. Exactly.
Right.
So it that's the part that's you know, and if MJF wins, I'm cool with that too.
Yeah, for sure. Big question of the night is, will the devil be unmasked? What do you think?
I need them to end this. I don't think they could go on any longer with this.
Are you watching this show? Are you paying $50 for this show?
Remember we talked about earlier.
But now that we went through the card, you have the card. Did this give you a chubby to put out $50 for the show?
Nah. In comparison to like, if you're talking about like best matches, best events that I thought this year was, like, it's, I'm not getting the Forbidden Door vibe. Yeah,
for sure.
I'm not getting the All In vibe.
Yeah.
Those are events I wanted to pay for because there were some absolutely banger cards out there. And this is one of those like Ring of Honor cards to me, like, and I'm saying Ring of Honor as an example. This is one of those, because I've watched a lot of Ring of Honor and went to a lot of Ring of Honor events where even though it wasn't like a main pay-per-view event, you know that they were still going to put on a very stellar, solid card regardless. And it's going to entertain. It's not going to disappoint. But at the same time, with all these pay-per-views coming, I got to pick and choose.
Exactly.
I'm not nearly rolling like they think people are rolling and to be paying for all this. And then we got to pay for other events and in forms of entertainment as well. Nah. So it's this one I may hold off on.
Yeah, for sure. I'm hoping that we can start getting codes from Triller because this is becoming difficult, man. It's becoming difficult. But yeah, no, I'm looking forward to this card overall. Is it the best? No, but it's going to be a good card. And you know, AEW 9 out of 10 times deliver fantastic.
It's going to be above average. And that's I can be confident about.
Yep. Agreed. All right, man, we blew through that show. I love that. So Dax, as always, where can we find your anime, movies, comics, and games work?
All things anime, comics, movies, and games you can find on TalkTimeLive.com. That is the home of ACMG Presents TalkTime Live, the podcast that caters to all your favorite fandoms. All my podcast episodes, my video exclusive interviews with some of your favorite people in the world of those fandoms. You know, shout out to Brian O'Halloran, the star of Clerks 3 or the Clerks series. His birthday just passed recently. Yes. You know, I reached out to him. He shouted back out. Really, such a class act, dude. But I had a chance to do an interview with him a while back. Molly Flanagan, my good friend of mine and client, mind you, the voice of Naruto. Honestly, if you're a Naruto fan, you would definitely want to go to TalkToHimLive.com because I almost interviewed the entire cast at some point in Factor. But also, there's a lot of great other content in there as well. And if you are, you know, if you want to check it out on your favorite platforms, wherever podcasts are played, Spotify, iHeartRadio, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, yada, 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 we're there. You can find us. Just type in ACMG Presents Talk Time Live, and you will get me as much as you can get this great show here.
Excellent, Dex. Thanks for that. Yeah, so we have so much happening here on Sunday Night's Main Event. We're still trying to produce at least one show each and every day. Single day during these holiday seasons, but we do have a lot coming up. So it is December 29th tomorrow. That means Stardom has their biggest, one of their biggest shows of the year happening. We're going to be reviewing that. We have New Japan Pro Wrestling, Wrestle Kingdom happening next week. And in fact, here's a little something. I got a nice little email this morning at like 4 in the morning from The Voice. Mm-hmm. of New Japan Pro Wrestling, the new voice of New Japan Pro Wrestling, Walker Stewart, and he wants to come on the show to talk about New Japan Pro Wrestling. So we're going to have him on
the show. That's a great deal.
Yeah, it's very cool, very cool. This is the guy that's replacing Kevin Kelly.
Yes, I've been listening to him on Access. Pretty good.
Yeah, he's not bad. He's not bad. But he's doing the media rounds, and I like the fact that he came to us. So that is awesome. Very cool. So we still figuring out a time for that because of the schedules, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're going to be talking New Japan. We're going to be talking Stardom. We're going to be talking World's End this weekend. And like I mentioned, the worst of 2023, a very interesting show. And one of the categories we kind of cheated on because I think we just wanted to talk about something in particular. And almost, you can probably hear it in our voices that we almost cried. It's a very cool episode. So regardless whether you are a patron or not, you are going to be getting the unedited, uncut version on the podcast feed. And the only way that you can get it on the podcast feed is by going to your favorite podcast catcher and searching for Sunday Night's Main Event. Hit the subscribe and leave a review.
And let me tell you something. One of the biggest things I loved about Sunday Night's Main Event and, you know, the law before it was that, was these annual best of and worst of episodes. I lived for these and I still do. And I thought traditionally, I'm so happy that you guys are still doing it. It is a great episode.
Yeah, it was a lot. Honestly, it was a lot of fun. It was long. It was a long recording. And by the end,
it always is. Yeah.
You can tell that we're just like, just good. We're more than tranquilo. I need a smoke after the fact. Yeah, man. So just do that. Like I mentioned, Patreon is going to be relaunched. I'm hoping for January. I know January is around the corner, so I might just leave everything at the price point and then introduce the new price point mid-month. But like I said, we are going to do a Get to Know Your Host podcast, one a week, and it's just going to be getting to know the various hosts, right? Like, you have so many different voices around SNME, and you might not know where they came from, why they matter, why we got them part of the network. We also have people doing specials for us. Actually, we have someone right now in Japan covering a lot of the shows out there, and hopefully that she will be sending content in. A lot of cool stuff coming up in the new year, and some of it will be patron exclusive outside of the show reviews. So
awesome.
Yeah, man. Yeah, that's where we're at. My voice is done. It's really starting to go. So Dax, thank you as always. Look how bad my wrist is right now. Like, look at
how swollen it is. Like, you poor kid.
So bad.
You are definitely a wrestling fan. You're just hardcore. You're working through the pain.
Oh, dude, zero painkillers.
You are this station's Brian Danielson, right?
We are the podcast team with the whitest teeth in the industry. He's Dax, I'm Boris. Until next time, stay tranquilo.